Folks, Judgment Week has turned into Judgment Night. Buffalo Sabres currently taking on the Vancouver Canucks in what is a must-win game. Tonight in studio, myself, Degenerate L, along with Topher. Tucked is finally back. He's just been way too tucked. Producer Burrs here in studio. And then we also have a quick live interview with the Maniac currently at the KeyBank Center. Tonight's show sponsor, Rock Bottom. It's Sunday night, folks. What does that mean? 2-for-1 drinks. Let's go. Maniac. How's everything going down at the KeyBank Center?
Oh my God, I'll tell you what's going down. It's the morale of this fans here in this typically electric arena. Gun silent as the Sabres have lagged any offensive blow and trail 4-2 here going into the third period.
5 shots on goal in that second period?
Oh my God, let me tell you a little something. They stopped recording the shots like 5 minutes into the period, similar to like a little league game when things get out of control. Not sure if that was a call from upstairs by Terry and the boys, but bottom line, we need to take advantage of the 63 seconds we have remaining on the power play and get this third period off to a strong start if this Judgment Week's going to come back with a legitimate verdict.
Maniac, how loud are the boos? It's hard to gauge over the TV. I heard they were loud, though.
You know, I don't think it's the boos because, you know, it's a weird-paced game. I think the fans are behind them right now based on what they're doing. But with the pace of this game, they score early, 5 minutes in, and then you don't see any offense for about 10 to 12 minutes. They get another goal late, and then that second period, I mean, geez, talk about forget, like something, you know, you wouldn't even write home about. That's the kind of, you know, film, if it was an NFL Saturday or Sunday, you would just throw it in the trash and not even have the boys look at it. If you're by Elsma, you got to rally these guys, and you got to get this league's number one power play out there and get them rolling.
Dude, GM Smokey is currently going nuts on Twitter, saying he'd rather be knitting. Fire Bilesma, thoughts?
I mean, bottom line, you know, if you're not going to see that fire out of this team, then yeah, maybe you have someone who can push the buttons a little bit better than Danny B.
Look at the Boston Bruins. I mean, they fire their coach, and they're playing great hockey right now.
Oh, bottom line, you know, this isn't, you know, and no offense to the profession, but as far as NHL and NBA coaches go, with both with their, you know, 82-game seasons and everything, a very expendable position that simply just firing can, you know, change the overall chemistry and vibe of a team and locker room.
Yes.
Maniac, assuming...
But as of right now, I'm in for keeping him, and I think they're going to finish strong here, and Judgment Week will come back with a hopeful verdict. A win tonight will put them into what, 10th?
I was just going to ask you, assuming the score of this game stays the same, what are your thoughts on Judgment Week? They had a great win against Toronto. Great win against Toronto, big comeback win.
If they can't get it done in the third period, despite the big win over Toronto, I think this would be the straw that broke the camel's back. It would take a significant run, I think at least of about, you know, 3 out of every 4 games being a win for them to finish off strong.
Yeah,
so they lose tonight, and you want GM Tim Murray on the phone selling at 8:30 a.m. tomorrow? Is that what you're saying?
If they lose tomorrow, I want them selling, but obviously, and I don't think that Tim Murray is anyone to give anything away, I want us to get equal value back. I don't want it to be a full sell, but I want us to be selling in the right spots, obviously.
Like it.
A lot.
What's the...
With that said, if we can pull off strong in the third period, let's get it going. Let's get the, you know, playoff engines rolling.
My God, what's the drink of choice tonight at the KeyBank Center?
Well, we were going with Goose Bombers in the pregame, obviously. Then we switched up to Labatt Blue Light in the early first period or second. Now we're just taking whatever they'll give us. You know, it was about a couple half-filled Magic Hat number 9s are keeping us lubed up for this home stretch.
Now, I know it sucks that you can't make the show with us later, but one of the topics was top places you've been kicked out of. What is one of the top places,
whether
it's a sporting event, restaurant, bar? Give us your number one place you've been kicked out of.
Well, I was kicked out of Mr. Good Bar within the last 15 months. But the more historic kick out I have was when I was an 8-year-old at East Rutherford, New Jersey, going to a Jets Bills game when my family lived in New Jersey. Getting taunted and a couple of things thrown at me by Jets fans, like we got removed from the stadium. You know, I'm quite a raucous 8-year-old. Things don't change.
Things do not change, just like this train. Maniac, thank you very much.
Hey, can I say one thing?
Yes, you can.
Good night now.
Amazing.
Very good.
Just a very frustrating game right now. Like you said, Tuck, right when you're on the way over, you were preparing for a loss tonight.
Oh, yeah, classic. Just classic letdown game. We see it with the Bills, see it with the Sabres every night, every game. We see it all the time.
And
we see letdown games all the time here.
And we called it Judgment Week. Horrible game against New Jersey. A miraculous comeback against the Sharks. You have a JV varsity matchup with the Ducks. They just absolutely destroyed us. And you got, what, one good period against Toronto?
Like half of a good period against Toronto, really. I mean, the Sabres didn't necessarily play well at the end of the first half of the second period. Toronto was just very bad. And then once Toronto got their game going, it was like the ice was tilted, and we were lucky that Lehner played the way he did.
Oh, he played amazing. Thoughts with him starting a back-to-back? I mean, it's obviously easier to say now when it's 4-2.
Exactly. And that's the thing where it's like, you know, They're up 4-2 right now. Leonard's got 30 saves, and he's getting up only 2 goals. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, it's not a bad idea. But a normal hockey coach, like the Vancouver Canucks did, they start Ryan Miller last night in Boston. They put him on the bench. They start their backup versus the Sabres. And I just don't understand. The Sabres start Leonard last night. He gets peppered by 40 to 45 shots. And we'll just throw him in again. And we got Ottawa on Tuesday, or throw him in again. I mean, it just doesn't make sense.
I love the way Nielsen plays at home. Yeah. I love the way the team plays behind him at home.
I would have liked to see Lehner play the 2 division games. We got Ottawa coming up on Tuesday. Like, Western Conference team, let's play the backup.
That's the thing. The Buffalo Sabres have been playing very well against the West this year.
Yes.
The Eastern Conference, it's been a struggle. I mean, I was looking at some records earlier today. 0-4 versus the Boston Bruins and 0-6-2 versus the Lightning, Devils, and Hurricanes.
Yep. Not good. You gotta win those games. You gotta win those divisional games.
So it seems like every
conference
night.
Games, yeah.
It seems like every night they're giving 40 plus shots up.
So
65, 70 shot attempts.
I thought the shot differential ended in the tank years, but we still give up a ridiculous amount of shots.
Yeah. And that has to do with the defenseman, not having the puck possession and stuff like that. But it has a lot to do with the defenseman, I think. You know, no D. There's no
honestly.
D. They got Ristolainen, they got maybe McCabe, and that's about it. Franzen's got to go. George's got to go. Kulikov will be gone in 3 weeks.
He'll be dealt.
Fedun is, I'm sorry, he's playing in AHL this year. Falk is playing in AHL this year. They have no D.
So, I know we've obviously been talking about, should we trade Kane, should we not, buy or sell. Do you trade Kane for a top four defenseman?
If you are going to, this is the highest he will ever be.
Yes, I agree.
If you are going to, this is it. This is the only time he will be. This is the peak of what he's going to be at. He's got 1 year left on his deal, which is next year. I mean, if you're going to, I probably would not. I mean, it's very difficult to say. My opinion right now is I would not. He's playing like the player we want. He's scoring. He's fast. He's good with Eichel. I probably would not.
I've heard both sides.
But I just don't know how far away we are. Do you think we're going to make a push next year? We need that scoring from Manor Kane? Are we still,
that's a good
years
point.
Away?
I've also heard that, just the way he plays, like guys like Eichel and some of the other forwards on our team could like kind of emulate just how he like skates hard, goes for the hits. But like, yes, Eichel can sometimes skate harder, it looks like, but look at a guy like Patrick Kane. That's like the way he plays, and that's why he's so successful, is because he's kind of just floating around, waiting for like his opportunity in open space. And then once he gets that space, boom, he's skating, he's scoring.
Yeah.
I think that's the way Eichel plays, which I'm fine with. But
yes,
I mean, I think it's also big that Kane, like Josh, like you said,
tucked.
We'll bleep that out.
That
we have him for next year too. It's not like he's an unrestricted free agent.
But that's the thing that you said. This is where his value will be the highest. He's not a rental. And he's got, what, 17 even strength goals since December 1st, top in the NHL. I fired a tweet at him December 3rd, and look what he's done since then.
And
I absolutely destroyed my reputation on Twitter.
That's okay. Just don't delete it. That'll hurt even more.
No, I kept it up.
We're going to keep it.
But I feel like I had one more thing on Kane.
So live. I wrote over my head, but I think he probably keeps.
Oh, that's what I was gonna say. This is a crucial year next year for the Sabres.
Yes.
I'm getting nervous for Eichel and his long term with the Sabres.
Yeah.
If we sell again this year and then, you know, next season we're still struggling to make the playoffs.
Yes.
I'm nervous about it. Does he want to stay here long term?
He will. The NHL is, I know, Topher, you're good with the NHL. The NHL is set up where these players don't leave. They're restricted free agents, then they sign a bridge deal, and they're here for 3 or 4 more years. And after the bridge deal's done, they sign a long term deal like Kane and Tate just signed for $10.5 million. That's the way the league's set up. The league is set up for these players not to leave. The league is set up for free agency to not be very good. I mean, I remember someone said the best free agent in the past decade was Marian Hossa. I mean, the league is set up for that. They want these players to stay and be homegrown and stay in Buffalo. I don't see him leaving. He will never leave. I don't see that personally happening. But to counter your point, yes, next year is massive for Bylsma, Murray. I mean, I could have tanked and picked Eichel. I could have tanked and picked Reinhardt.
What?
He needs to start doing something. This team needs to do something next year. It's
like, look at McDavid
next
and Edmonton.
Year,
like,
yes,
come
next
on.
Next year is very, very, very big for this organization. And I think I say it every freaking season with the Bills, but this is a big offseason for Murray. As I say every year,
we've said that the past 2 years.
Yeah,
this is
a big offseason for Whaley, big offseason for Murray. I mean, this is a very big offseason for these two.
Yeah, and going back to the Eichel point, I think the easy answer is to say, like, oh, he's from Boston, he loved the Bruins growing up, played for the junior Bruins, like, he'll be a Bruin in 2 years. But I think the Buffalo's location for him, like, his family, it's such an easy drive down Interstate 90. I remember him saying that in a couple interviews, you know, that he appreciates being close,
yep.
And it's such an easy drive back to his hometown in Chelmsford. So I think,
yeah.
I think that's just like an easy, you know, joke to make. Oh, he's going to be a Bruin.
Yeah, exactly.
Which I might eat these words in a couple years when he's wearing black and gold. But
yeah, and that's the thing, Ryan. You know, I just don't see it happening. But he needs to. We need some players for him, though. I mean, Bylsma was sticking him with Foligno the past 2 weeks. I mean, could you imagine being that talented, just getting thrown out with a fourth liner? And you'd be frustrated too.
Yeah, Bylsma's just.
I'm sorry.
The lines, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, at least now he's got Kane and Reinhardt with him. But for gracious, I mean, I'd be pissed too if I was going out with the fourth liner.
I think Foligno, he's going to be our annual guy that we trade to Minnesota for like a second or third round pick.
Yeah.
I think he's due.
Yep.
I'm sure they can use like a hard-nosed guy for the playoffs.
Mm-hmm. They're good this year too. Minnesota's very good this year. Very good.
Another coaching change team right there.
Yep.
You know, once they... I feel like all these coaches in hockey are just recycled. You know, we got... I think, yeah, they have Boudreau, who's been on, like, a whole bunch of teams, done nothing. And then all of a sudden it works in Minnesota for him. I don't know. Hockey coaches are just... I'll never understand it.
Yeah, I mean, we got Bylsma. He was fired by Pittsburgh. I mean, Claude Julien might go to Vegas, I saw. Which would be a phenomenal hire by that.
Yeah, I think Julien...
If they start off with Claude Julien in Vegas, that would be just absolutely phenomenal.
I think Julian's going to at least sit back and wait till the offseason to wait for his options. I don't think he's going to rush into any, like, opportunities that open up mid-season here.
Mm-hmm.
So let's get into a quick new segment. I know people on Twitter have been asking, where's Trill Queenswood? Where's Mim Kingswood? We know he's a diehard Buffalo sports fan that lives in the New England area. Trill, Mim, how's everything going tonight?
Hey guys, this is Mim Kingswood back from the dead. Back from the dead, boys. Happy to be back. Trill Queenswood did a great job covering for me while I was out looking for the next Bills franchise QB. Unfortunately, not very successful. But there's still hope. So I want to just thank Trill for his hard work, and boys, I'm back.
Love it.
Mim, my first question for you, have you been able to get out of bed this week living in New England?
Luckily I have, just because my office where I work has no windows and I can hide in there all day pretty much and not talk to anybody. It has been brutal. I refuse to even go get coffee at the local coffee shop. It's not fair.
So I got a guy that I work with And I was talking to him today. He got back from a trip. He was actually in Boston this week, a horrible week to go to Boston on business if you're a Buffalo sports fan. And he said, you know, he was like in the airport and then went to a couple, you know, bars and restaurants in Boston. And he made it sound like they don't know what they're talking about when it comes to football. Like,
they don't, and you know what, I was talking to some friends, and it's brutal. They don't even care anymore. This is the fifth one, and they don't care about football. It's just like, the regular season doesn't even matter to them. They turn on, and hopefully the team makes the Super Bowl. It's brutal.
Yeah, and you could see the top five markets, Boston wasn't one of them to watch it. And the guy at work, he told me, he's like, yeah, like, I was like, explain to me. Like, I was like, what do you mean? Why don't they know football? And he's like, well, obviously they know Tom Brady. But he's like, when they asked him who Chris Hogan was, asked the Boston fans, they didn't know who Chris Hogan was. It's like,
now, I'm a lot of my people that I talk to, I work in sports and stuff, and it's, they are more knowledgeable with the sport, but the thing that has been kind of the wow factor to me is the lack of continuity to the celebration. Like, yeah, they had the parade, and I knew a ton of people that went up to the parade, and it was just one big party, you know, and good for them. Their team won, and they should celebrate, but as soon as the parade was over, it was, like, back to normal. I mean, you get a Super Bowl in Buffalo, that parade's lasting all year until football starts again. That thing is stopping.
The parade
will be on a train, but...
Yeah, I want to go back two things, man. Is, you know, the first thing you said, I mean, the regular season doesn't matter. I mean, I don't know how a Patriots fan could wake up on a Sunday and like, all right, we got the Jets this Sunday, let's go get excited. I mean, they're gonna win 40-10.
Well, remember when we went on our trip to Boston, week 3?
Yes.
Remember how excited we were in that Bills backer bar?
Making fun of us.
We shut out the Patriots in Foxborough, and they were smiling, they were laughing at us,
not with us.
They were like, look at these like idiots.
Yeah, I mean,
who are just so happy about nothing right now. And
yeah, and I just don't. That's the thing. I mean, I don't know how they could ever be excited for, you know, all right, we got the, you know, the Jets in town, the Dolphins in town. Regular season doesn't matter. They got two games now. The AFC title game in the Super Bowl is what one Boston friend told me. They got two games a year now. And the other thing is, yeah, if there was ever a championship here, Bills or Sabres, I mean, we would be still partying. I mean, it'd be a week.
I thought about that. I was talking to my boss.
We would have won a week ago tonight. We'd still be partying. There'd be no podcast. We'd be hammered.
Local businesses are going to be shut down.
Would people work that way?
No.
Would HSBC work?
No. HSBC would be shut down. All the banks around here. Like, people in other parts of the country wouldn't have their money.
Yeah.
Elon Musk's solar panels for Tesla, they're going to not be made when we win something.
I think we'd have to show up. We have to work. I mean, I'd be working on 2 or 3 hours. I definitely have a couple sick days in there and stuff. But I mean, probably Thursday and Friday I'd show up. But I mean, we win Sunday, we'd be partying Sunday. Monday we'd be partying. Tuesday the parade, we'd be going absolutely nuts again. I mean, it would be amazing. It'll be amazing Sunday.
And the thing too is with Buffalo, you know that every sane human being, like who is a boss or upper management, is going to give that Monday off no matter what. If that were to happen,
good point.
They wouldn't require. The week would be a holiday in Buffalo, and it would just be, you know, it's cool to think about because obviously it sucks because we're so far away. But the one point I wanted to talk to you guys about with that is, it's living in New England as a sports fan is thank God. Like my teams are the Bills, Sabres, and then I'm a Yankees fan, and thank God. My grandfather was a Yankees fan and put that into me because if I didn't have a team winning, Buffalo sports would just kill you. And living here, I really couldn't imagine, man.
I just want to add,
it's no longer along the lines of, hey, like, oh, we hate your team. Like, you're a Bills fan? I'm so sorry for you. It must suck. It's like, screw you, man.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it does.
Don't even. But I mean, they have every right to say it. I mean, they know what winning is like, and unfortunately, we know what mediocrity is like.
Mim, I just want to add that you guys, you've gotten slammed with snow this week after the Super Bowl victory, like the salt in the wounds.
Yeah, I'm delayed. We were off on Thursday. They canceled school, so I mean, that kind of they've been celebrating like that. They were hammered at the parade, and we actually have a delay tomorrow too. It's been snowing and freezing rain all night, so it's been kind of a wild winter wonderland here. I mean, but then on Wednesday we had 60-degree weather, so Who knows what's going on?
See, that's
the apocalypse.
That's deja vu. I was living in Boston 2 years ago for the Seahawks Super Bowl, and the second Malcolm Butler made that interception,
your favorite,
a blizzard started, and I remember we got an email like 10 minutes later at my school saying we had off. All these Patriots fans just started partying. It was just. I just wanted to have a little happiness like that in my life someday, you know?
And we will someday. We will. Yep. But, one thing I want to tell you guys. It was one of the cockiest things I've ever heard in my life, but, they have every right to say it. I was talking to this kid who's a fan here, and we just, shooting the shit per normal after the Super Bowl, talking about it. I was talking about how, I obviously thought the Patriots are going to win, but just the fact that Atlanta gave us that little bit of hope that the Patriots would be suffering, it was just heartbreaking, obviously. I mean, it was the greatest game ever. But what he said to me was, he goes, yeah, it's supposed to snow the day of the parade. I know a bunch of people going up. And so I'm probably not going to – I'm probably going to go to the parade. And then he texts me an hour later. He goes, yeah, I'm not going. With the snow and stuff, it's too crappy. I figure it'll be nice weather next year, so I'll just wait till next year. Maybe I'll just assume they're going to have another one next year.
Yep, gross. Absolutely gross.
And you have to wonder how they're going to win if they win another one with Brady, because it just keeps getting better and better for him. I mean, the Butler.
He's not stopping.
That's a debate that I heard on the radio. Was that say they play four to five? Say he plays 4 to 5 more years. How many more does he win?
Two.
One or two.
Two.
Yeah. I think with how good he's playing, he's gonna play 5 more years. I think he's gonna win 2. I think they repeat. I mean, there's just nothing. I think they repeat. That's all. With their defense and how good of a coach Bill Belichick is. And now I'm a little different, and I know a lot of people are all about coaches and stuff. I think if you have a franchise QB, you have a chance to win the Super Bowl every year. And that's, the case. I think it's all about QB. But then if you can combine a franchise QB with a capable coach, I mean, you're unstoppable. And that's what has happened in New England. I mean, they have the greatest quarterback of all time and the greatest football coach of all time, in my opinion. And look at what's come of that. But then you look at Green Bay, and I think Aaron Rodgers is the greatest QB in the NFL right now, but his coach doesn't know what he's doing. It just seems to me that McCarthy has no hold on how to manage a football team and how to control the situation. I think it shows in their postseason struggles.
Yeah, and how about Matt Patricia getting off that plane in Boston wearing the Roger Goodell clown shirt?
Amazing. They're still.
I think that's the whole. We don't want to give shout outs here, but that's the whole Barstool influence here. It's that Barstool Sports is they are the Boston niche, and they control that market. And the Patriots embrace it. Everybody wears that stuff around here. I go to school, and I'll see at least 5 or 6 of those. I'm in the Rhode Island campus, and I see people wearing those. Goodell clown shirts all the time, and it's I kind of laugh at it. I love when they boot him. I thought it was hysterical.
Oh, that booing was amazing. Oh,
just completely trolling the NFL and the commissioner.
Yeah, the booing is amazing. The Goodell clown shirt's amazing, and the Patriots truly went on the FU NFL tour, destroyed everyone, had 2 losses the entire year without Gronkowski, the greatest in NFL history, without their 2 best defensive players, and they still won. I mean, they truly went on the whole FU NFL.
When will we learn to stop giving them motivation like that?
Just, yeah.
Like fans of other teams, players of other teams. I mean, we see the Bills players on Patriots Week every year acting like buffoons.
Yep. But
that might be the one thing with how cocky New England has become and their fan base. And I mean, the team isn't there because that Belichick is going to have them ready. But it's just amazing to me that the NFL gave them this motivation, because now, obviously, they still had to fight for, they wanted to get, greatest of all time. There's no argument now with the duo of Belichick and Brady. But, what else do they have now for motivation? If I'm Brady and he's smart, I'm praying for this because I'm a Bills fan, but he should retire and not get hurt, because he is solidified. Like, why keep playing? Why extend our misery? So, Tom Brady, I know you're listening to the Wrecking Crew on this podcast. Please retire. Do us a favor.
He won't,
but dude, I think the motivation is just to keep going. Go for that second hand and more rings.
Yeah, honest to God.
Blow it out of the water, dude. You just passed Montana, and can't forget about Terry Bradshaw.
Yeah,
go for six or seven.
And I know he said that his wife Giselle
is pushing him,
pleaded him to please retire. He said, "There's just no way, honey. I mean, he's got 3 to 5. Everyone is saying 3 to 5 years." And that's why they said Garoppolo, he doesn't want to wait. It's either he waits or he's gone. I suppose he doesn't want to wait. I mean, so he's gone, but and then supposedly Belichick.
If I'm Garoppolo, I mean, the only reason you wait is if you get a guarantee from Bill Belichick that he's going to stay. I think if I'm Garoppolo and I know that Belichick and Brady are going to retire at the same time, which I don't think will happen because I think Belichick wants to try and win one without Brady. But I mean, if I'm Garoppolo, I'm waiting. I'm staying and I'm trying to win one with Belichick.
I know Robert Kraft said at the Super Bowl this past year that him and Belichick have a pact of when he's retiring, and they each know when it is, and I really think it's when Brady's gone. I know you just said you don't. I think it is. I think he's gone when Brady's gone. McDaniel steps in, and the rest is history, but I don't know. I do think they both go out at the same time. I mean, Belichick's, what, 65?
Yeah, and he's said...
Yeah, he's getting up there.
And he's said that he doesn't want to be... Exact quote, he does not want to be like Marv Levy coaching in his 80s, so...
Yeah, it's not... No, exactly. Yeah, he's done. Not yet, but he will be done in 3... I think they're both on the same path. 3 to 5 years, they're both out, and then the Bills, Jets, and Dolphins have a chance at winning the AFC East again. They have a chance of making the playoffs
that
again.
That day. Imagine how hard we are going to party when they announce their retirement.
Oh, I'll be just going nuts.
Party at Diane. Man, before you called us, we were talking about, you know, the Sabres, Evander Kane, buy or sell. What is your take on the Buffalo Sabres right now?
Well, I mean, to get serious here with the, you know, the opinions on this, the Sabres are obviously closer than the Bills right now. The Bills are waiting on that. The Bills will not win until they get a QB. And Tyrod was a very good average QB, and his mobility helped him look better than he really is.
Yep.
But he's not a franchise QB, and I hope the Bills move on. But the Sabres, I think you have the pieces there, but they're not there yet. And I think that the biggest weakness has been the defense. We have Rasmus Ristolainen, and he is the only real solid defender on that team. I think Lanner has been great. I think Nielsen has been great in goal. I think we have the ability to be top scorers. I think, but in all seriousness, we got to sell. The buyer's market this year is... I mean, it's a seller's market this year. You have so many teams that are at 500 and above. There's only a couple that are going to be selling. So you're going to be able to pull off. I was actually talking to GM Smokey, the Buffalo resident Bielsma hater. But he was saying the same thing. This is the type of year where you can get a first-round pick for like a Paul Gostad-type player. You can trade, you know, Gianta and get tons back for it. And I think you have to do that. And I think Murray's smart enough that he can recognize that because... I mean, I'm on the fire about Bielsma train. I think he has the same style of coaching that Rex Ryan had, where Rex Ryan has this scheme, and he wants to implement it no matter what, and he doesn't adjust to the players you have. I think as a coach, it is critical that no matter what your scheme was or what you do, you have to adjust to the players you have. I think that's what, I mean, going back to the Patriots, which is the gold standard, they adjust their game plan for whoever they have. Their defense is good every year because they change personnel and they adjust the play with who they have. And with the Sabres, I think that Bielsma just is, you have to do this, 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 and this, and all he does is mix up the lines. I don't think he is letting Eichel get to his full ability, letting Reinhart get to his full ability, letting Zemgus Girgensen, who was an amazing prospect, we thought was going to be a 20-goal scorer and was going to be a solid third-line center, all of a sudden he's just... a nobody. I think it's all in the coaching. And if I am the Sabres, I think you fire Bielsma at the end of the season and you give the world to Claude Julien. I think you have to bring in Julien.
Yeah, I remember you saying that. You think that's the next that you should they should definitely do that.
Yeah, I mean that would be my opinion. Seeing him here in Boston, I forget where I read this. It must have been on Twitter. But hockey is very different than any other sport in that you don't have. I mean, Lindy Ruff is the exception. You have Joel Quenneville, who's an exception as well. But I believe that hockey is a very turnover-related sport in terms of coaching because yep. The message gets a little stale. But Claude Julien is somebody who I think would come in here and it's, you know, he starts his message over again. And look, I mean, he was consistent. Yeah, he only won one Stanley Cup with the Bruins. And, I mean, Boston is so hungry for championships, that's not good enough for them. And, I mean, they went to another. But I feel like he can come into Buffalo and establish a culture that would change around this franchise. I mean, even with Eichel, I mean, you know, heard his comments the other day after the game. Yes, they're warranted, we're booing, but he doesn't understand where the fans are coming from with those boos. Claude Julien is his coach, right?
Eichel grew up.
And so that this was the guy that he was when he was rooting for the Bruins when he was younger. This was the coach that was winning Stanley Cups with them. So I think you bring in him, that's a huge, you know, idol to Eichel, and Eichel wouldn't leave at all. That he'd be 100% staying in Buffalo with that.
Love the insight, man. One final question for you. We asked the Maniac, and this is a pretty big topic on our show tonight. What was one of the top, whether it's a restaurant, bar, sporting event that you've gotten kicked out of in your lifetime?
Wow.
Obviously with the whole, you know, Charles Oakley thing at MSG, we wanted to talk about that tonight. So do you have any specific events in your lifetime that that's happened to you?
Well, all I can say is I cannot wait until I hear the Maniac story on the podcast tomorrow. But I have no idea what his would be, but I always love hearing his crazy stories. But, you know, for me, I'm trying to think. I've been to a ton of games in the New England area. So this is going to be way back. When I was in high school in Hawaii, I lived in Hawaii at the time, and we were at the East Carolina, and I forget who we were playing. They were at the Sheridan Hawaii Bowl, and this was when Hawaii was good, and they had Colt Brennan there playing Georgia for the Sugar Bowl.
Love it. Yep.
So it was East Carolina, and Chris Johnson was the running back. So it was like right before he got CJ2K, before he got drafted and stuff. And I think something happened where some guy was, you know, talking shit in the stands, and one of my buddies and I were yelling back at him, and then some kids got insulted, or some parents got insulted with their kids, and I think we threw, like, some food or something in there, and they asked us to leave. So nothing too crazy, but a throwback one for you guys there.
That's funny. Hawaii in high school. Mem, thank you very much for joining the show tonight. We all appreciate it. You've been dark for a while now, but you are back.
I'm back, and you know what? The fans, guys, on the podcast listeners, we've been a little down on the blogs, but Mem Kingswood is back, and he's going to be pumping out some sports blogs for people to read if you're interested in some more content, which we always want to do. But just want to say I love what you guys do on this podcast. It's awesome to listen to. It's a great drive into work day. It keeps me sane here in New England when otherwise I have to listen to WEEI or whatever that bullshit is about.
Keep it on mute. Keep it on mute.
You guys have a great night, and I'll talk to you guys later.
Thanks, man. Good night now.
Night now.
Hawaii, wow.
He's been around.
Been around the globe.
All over the globe.
Been all seven continents.
Born Scotland.
He's Scottish. Wow.
Yeah, born in Scotland. But yeah, let's get back into that topic real quick. You know, top places that you've been kicked out of. Anything that rings a bell? Talked?
Only place I've ever been kicked out of was Balloons. Oktoberfest circa 2013 or 2012. I was very young. I swiped a credit card trying to pay for a drink. It got denied. I don't understand why. And I was with a girl, and they picked me up by my shoulder. No, the bartender flicked a piece of ice at the bouncer. He came over, picked me up by my shoulders, picked her up by her shoulders, and placed us outside.
Why did the credit card bounce?
Probably no funds. I don't know. I was just a little guy back then, so I don't know, man.
So I would have to say I actually did get kicked out of Balloons this year. You remember, it was a Sunday afternoon, 3:00 in the afternoon.
Oh, yeah.
I was done pretty early. And that one, and I'd say probably my number one was getting kicked out of Brennan's. This was probably 2 winters ago, I believe. And I was in the bathroom taking a piss, and I was in the stall, and there was a bouncer using the urinal. And I noticed, I was mid-piss, I noticed that the bouncer wasn't leaving the bathroom. And he was just standing right near the stall. I was really confused. I walk out of the stall, he goes, "You're out of here." And I go, "For what?" And he goes, "For blowing coke." And I go, "Sir, I was just taking a piss. I was not blowing coke whatsoever. You can search me, do whatever." And nope, I was gone.
This was at Brennan's?
This was at Brennan's for blowing coke. And I...
Can you imagine blowing coke at Brennan's?
That's what I'm saying.
of all places.
That's a real low point in your life. And I never did it. I remember I was having drinks with a couple guys. I told them the story. They were just dying laughing. I was like, guys, there's nothing I can do. I'm out. And they tried sticking up for me. Didn't work. The following week, I go back to Brennan's, drinking, partying, have a good time, pass out in one of the booths, and they booted me for a good 4 or 5 weeks. I had to come back to the owner and apologize, and then they let me back in. But that used to be the Friday night hotspot back in like high school, college.
Yeah,
going good spot. Brennan's on Friday nights was huge. We could walk back home, 15-minute walk. But Topher, how about you?
Well, speaking of Oktoberfest, I got kicked out of the real Oktoberfest in Munich, which I took a 15-hour train ride from Denmark to get there. And this is an event that you need to plan like a year in advance for, because if you don't book a table a year in advance, you're not going to get in without like serious work.
Yeah.
And like, especially as an American guy in Europe, you're just immediately at a disadvantage because everyone automatically hates you just out of principle. So do all the work, take the train ride to get down there, and then you have to stand in like a huge crowd of like 100,000 people with your hand in the air until you get pointed at to be allowed to go in and get a table inside the tent. And after like 5 hours of work, finally got into this tent, and my adrenaline was just flowing. It's like exactly how you see in the movies, like incredible event. The beer's incredible. I had 3 liters of beer in an hour, which I did the math, was at like 9 beers.
Yeah.
And it's like heavy beer, but it tastes so good. It's just so easy to drink.
Yeah.
Every 15 minutes, like the band starts playing, I'm pros it. And the adrenaline was flowing, and I'm just drinking and drinking, cheersing everyone.
Yeah.
And then I started dry heaving under the table, which I was awesome at. No one at my table saw me do it. Like, I just stuck my head down. I'd come up and gasp for air. Like, and then I'd stick my head back underneath.
Uh-huh.
It was awesome. One person, like, 3 tables over saw me do it and then notified, like, one of the employees. A SWAT team came over and told me to leave. Like, they had a SWAT team ready if I was going to fight it. I don't know if that was just because I'm, like, an American or whatever.
Like, a SWAT team?
Like, I'm a feeble person, and they had, like, 6'5".
Something Gigantors.
Bavarian guys come over, and it was a low point. They sent me this hill behind the tent. It's the most outrageous sight I've ever seen. There's like a hill where they send all the blackout drunk people, and there's people like passed out, possibly dead on this hill, and they just kind of like give people waters. Like there were paramedics going around just like toe-poking bodies to make sure they would they were still breathing.
Yeah.
I've never seen anything like it, but they sent me there. Even though I was in pretty good shape, like, I was, like, coherent and seeing what was going on.
Yeah.
It was so devastating, though.
Yeah.
Like, people travel thousands of miles for that event, and I fucked it up within an hour, but...
1 hour.
1 hour.
Gone. Burrs, you?
Now, that hill is gonna be what the city of Buffalo is gonna be like with a big championship.
Yep. There's not going to be enough medics to keep people alive.
Like, where would we be downtown if we were winning a championship? Or like
everywhere. Triple A. Oh, shoot me. Just flipping cars.
Yeah, flipping cars. People rallying.
I would be dangling off the top floor of the lodge.
Yeah, I mean, it would just
people be jumping off.
I'd have no shirt on at least. I mean, Burrs, you ever been tossed anywhere?
No, usually I'm the one watching other guys, making sure they don't get tossed.
Yep.
But I almost got tossed out of the Jim Kelly Club this year.
Oh.
Patriots game.
Yep.
Tom Brady's in town, pounding shots, pounding beers. You know it's over before it's over.
Yep.
Luckily, I got out in time, but that's it.
Yeah, you enjoyed a solid quarter at the Ralph that day, right?
I don't even know if I got through the first quarter. I got the first quarter, spent the last 3 quarters in the Jim Kelly Club bar.
Jeez.
Very nice up there.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
Easily get stuck in there for a whole game.
Yeah.
Every group needs someone like you, though, who's like monitoring, making sure no one's too rowdy.
Hey, you know, I'm
sometimes it doesn't work, but
I've had some practice with Degenerate Al here.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, it's not. Yo, how could we not bring this up? I've been banned from CBA.
Yeah.
So, there's other places where I've been kicked out of, too.
But
one of our sponsors loves us, but we've struggled.
Sometimes
there.
You push your luck a little
sometimes, you know, we're drinking in a gazebo at 7 a.m. pregame in a Bills game when they were in London.
Yeah.
Amazing. So, real quick, a couple more topics before we end the show tonight. Let's get into some Big Four basketball. One thing we got to talk about is Canisius and Reggie Witherspoon. And I don't know if you listeners saw this. Obviously, you know, Canisius isn't, like, talked about nationally. But they lost at home to Niagara on Friday night.
Yep.
They got swept by Niagara, which is just ridiculous. And so they almost a sellout crowd, had 2,200 people in attendance. And one of the reporters asked Reggie Witherspoon, why is your team rushing so many shots? And Reggie's answer, we always do that at home. Every time we play in this building, we do that. To be honest with you, the players told me before we started the season that they hate playing at home. Now I guess I believe them. Yeah. So you have St. Bonaventure fans blowing a game because they rush the court, and now you have Canisius players hating their fans and like hating playing at home.
And you have Michael calling out to fans.
I mean, if you're Reggie Witherspoon, what are you thinking?
Yeah.
You can't make that comment.
No.
I don't understand. It can't be nerves because it's a stadium of what, like 2,000?
It's literally,
it's a gym.
It's like 2,400 people. I think it's like 2,400 max. Yeah.
So it can't be nerves. Like, do they just hate the fans? I don't know.
That's what I'm saying. Like the players have said before the season, they hate playing at home. Like, I'm trying to think.
Yeah.
How could that? You're like selling out the place pretty much. It's like a small environment, so it gets loud in there. But like, could you imagine if Nate Oates said something like that?
No.
About UB? Like, I'd be pissed.
Yeah.
As a UB fan, UB diehard, if my coach comes and says, we hate playing at home,
yeah.
I would say, screw that, I'm not coming to another game.
Yeah, but that's, yeah. A little segue there is like the Eichel comments when he said, you know, they like us when we're winning, they don't like us when we're down, yeah. Like booing comments, and that's another thing where I wanted to bring up when Mim was talking, just about when he says, you don't know what it's like being a Buffalo sports fan, and that's the one thing that's amazing is like, you don't know what it's like being a Buffalo sports fan. Like, he doesn't understand. He grew up in Boston. He saw Patriots titles. He saw Red Sox titles.
Yeah.
We've seen nothing, Jack. I mean, and I'm not pointing it out, but, you know, these younger... You know, I remember someone made a comment last year. It was Foligno made a comment at the booing. Like, dude, you don't know what it's
no,
like.
You're
like,
right.
The Bills have made the playoffs in 17 years. The Sabres haven't been good since 06, 07. I mean, we've seen nothing.
Horrible.
We've seen nothing for 10 years plus two sports. We've seen nothing for 20 seasons.
We've never seen in our lifetime, we've never seen a conference championship.
No,
we've never been going to the big one.
No,
other than the University at Buffalo Bulls, who are going for a three-peat this year, which would be a MAC record. It's never been done before. They're playing awesome basketball. Probably, arguably, the hottest team in the MAC. Four straight wins. Currently in the range of a top four seed, which is huge.
Yep.
Let Akron run away with the MAC, get yourself a 2-3 seed, play Ohio in the semifinals without their best player.
Like last year.
And dude, people are starting to realize, you see like the guys that run like the MAC Twitters, and I also retweeted a guy a couple days ago, used to be the announcer for Akron. The Bulls are on watch right now.
Yes.
People know, no one wants to play the UB Bulls.
I'm sure Akron doesn't want it either.
No, they don't, and they...
No.
UB Akron was originally going to be a Saturday 3:30 afternoon game, gets flexed.
I mean, yeah.
To a Friday night primetime, 8 o'clock, going to be a blackout game, going to be another Operation 6000.
Yep.
See how many people they can pack into that building.
I mean,
that's going to be an awesome game.
Akron was phenomenal last year too, right?
Yes.
Same situation.
Yes, same situation, one seed. And
I saw today that Akron's won 20-plus games in every single year Dan Brott's been there but one. So that's damn impressive.
Incredible.
They're running a pretty good ship over there.
He's a great coach.
Yeah.
Great coach.
He coached LeBron James in high school, little known fact. That's why he's big. He coached LeBron James at St. Mary.
And I can't believe I'm saying this, because I rarely, you know, but UB playing Akron on that Friday night game, would not mind if somehow Akron came out and sucked that game away.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, last year, Akron and Ohio swept the UB in the regular season,
yep.
And we smoked them in
March. It's very hard to be a team three times.
Yes.
Yep.
It's all about what happens in March.
Oh, always.
And what happens in Cleveland. And if, you know, Akron somehow came into UB and beat us, which I don't think they're going to, but
I don't think so either.
It's going to be a raucous buzzsaw environment, man.
Yes.
I hope we get everyone involved.
Akron's got to be nervous. They still got to be having visions of that winning shot last year.
Oh, with Blake?
Yeah.
Yep. I mean,
that game was just one of the best games I've ever witnessed.
MAC tourney's right around the corner.
Sabres go down again. Sabres go
it's
down.
It's official, folks.
Sabres lose. Judgment night is over. And
yeah, outshot again. Lost 4-2. That's a dagger in the season, folks. Lose at home to Vancouver.
And you can't use the excuse of, you know, we're playing back-to-back. Vancouver did the same thing.
Yep.
Loses 4-3 in Boston the night before. Travels to Buffalo.
Burrs is just crushed over there in the corner. Shaking his head right now. Producer.
Speaking of Boston, it's a rout over the Canadiens, 4-0.
Yeah.
Once again, the new coach. I mean.
Yep.
And they're in the three seed right now, I believe. Toronto's in the wild card.
Yep.
It's going to be tough to keep up with these guys.
And Boston needed these wins because they had, like, Toronto had, like, six games in hand on Boston. It was something just ridiculous. So, that's what I'm saying. So, Al.
You want to say that? Yeah. Topher, go. Maniac.
Maniac with a live update. He says, rain of booze at the buzzer. He just texted me. Not good, folks. Not good.
That's where I go back to say, you know, we're frustrated. We're fed up. I thought the Sabres were going to be better. I know Ian said, or Mim said, you know, I know Mim said that he has more faith in the Sabres than the Bills, but, I mean, I agree with that. But still, yeah. I mean, I expect them to be a little better right now.
I know. So, just devastating loss on Judgment Night for the Buffalo Sabres. And you know what no one's really talking about? I know March is one of my favorite months, but how about NCAA tournaments coming to Buffalo this year?
Yep.
It's going to be awesome.
Yeah,
I love going to that every year. Yeah, I got tickets to Saturday, so I'm pretty excited for the Saturday round two.
Yep.
So that should be good.
Yeah, but maybe they'll place the UV Bulls there.
Now,
can you imagine that?
I don't think it would ever happen. They wouldn't place in there.
They place whenever Syracuse makes it, they send it to Buffalo, which is pretty much a home game for them. So.
Well, they do it to cut down travel expenses and stuff like that for the schools.
So, one last topic. I know we're at 45 minutes right now, but I just want to get talked. He's got to talk Bills when he's on the show. What are you feeling right now? There's Tony Romo rumors floating around right now. You got Doug Whaley saying Cardell is capable.
I think that's a smoke screen. Keep going, though.
But no, those are the two things I want to talk.
Here's my thing. I'll touch on the other thing after. But first off, I want to say, I'll touch on Tyrod. Let's just go on the Tyrod topic. It's like a month from yesterday. They gotta decide.
March 11th.
So let's talk about that real quick. I'm still on board with you gotta let him go. Just do not pick up that option.
No.
And I know everybody keeps saying on Twitter and all these media outlets, but there's no one else. I get that, but we're shooting for the stars here. We're shooting for a Brady or a Rodgers or a championship quarterback. We're not getting that with Tyrod. We know what we're getting.
Yes.
Move on.
Thank you.
Next.
Thank you.
Oh, next up.
Don't settle.
Yeah, it's like, you know, and it's like, and this is where I think McDermott has a little more pull. Is because now you're hearing, oh, in December, November, Whaley's done with Tyrod, it's over. Then you hire McDermott, and he supposedly has a little more input on the 53-man roster than previous coaches. And now the rumor is, oh, Tyrod might come back at a cheaper rate or a restructured contract or, you know. That's where I think McDermott's involved. Well, let's bring Tyrod back with 8 games next year, you know.
It's not happening. We know he's mediocre. We know he's not going to get where we want to be.
I think
let him go.
I saw something on Twitter that I thought was very, very smart. Was I think the Cardell thing is a smokescreen, whether that's the draft or I love it how someone sent a smokescreen to send to Tyrod's agents. To, hey, you know, we don't want to sign a restructured deal. We'll start Cardell Jones. We don't give a shit, you know. Which is just cannot happen. If we started Cardell Jones, it would be.
But that's what I think.
Yeah.
That's what we're okay with. We've opened up to the fact that, you know, Brady's what 3-4 more years. Let's get that franchise guy ready.
Darnold.
You've seen it on Twitter. I love it. We beat.
But there's just no chance the Buffalo Bills could run out Cardell Jones on opening day. Al, I'm sorry, it can never happen.
They're not raising prices on season ticket holders this year.
Yeah, but they could just never. They can never roll out. I mean, dude, and that's something like someone I saw Ross Tucker of NFL Network. He said that's a good way to tell your vets to just retire. I mean, if Kyle Williams says, I'm coming back.
Yeah, that's a good point. Kyle's done.
Lorenzo Alexander, I'm not coming back to Buffalo. They're starting Cardale Jones.
So then that's the. Then, okay.
Give me a break.
That's a great point you're making then. So then is that what they have to do then to bring back Tyrod? Because that's your best option.
Well,
You want to keep a Lorenzo Alexander.
Yes,
Make the fan base happy. I think that's what you gotta do.
Well, I wouldn't be happy, but a lot of guys would be. A lot of people will be happy if Tyrod comes back.
Yes.
But that's another topic, though, dude. Is Tyrod with a better defense okay? Can he do it?
Dude, you saw the quarterbacks that were in the Final Four this year.
Yep.
Tyrod would not win any of those games.
Yeah, and then let's talk about Romo real quick. He's the best option by far.
Yeah.
I mean, the rumor today from Dan Graziano of ESPN was that they're going to cut him if they don't get blown out of the water by a trade. And they're talking about second rounder. I do not want to give up a first second round pick for Tony Romo. I give up a third. Third to a seventh. I would not. I do not want to give up a first or second for Tony Romo.
Phil's what? I have 6 picks this year?
Yeah, no fourth.
No fourth.
But Romo's by far the best option. I don't understand the people who, you know, how would you like Tony Romo in the Bills? Oh, Tony Romo. Dude, he's like a top 10 quarterback would help me.
Yeah.
By far.
Yeah.
That's what they're scared of is his back, but there's nothing.
We have a good O-line, a good run game. That's what Herm Edwards said.
Take a chance.
That's what Herm Edwards said on SportsCenter. And Stephen A. Smith was laughing at him. Herm Edwards said, I mean, Buffalo's a good spot. Great O-line, good left tackle in Cordy Glenn, LeSean McCoy to hand the ball off. I mean, I think it's kind of a pipe dream, though. I don't see him leaving from the Big D, America's team, to Buffalo, New York. Could you imagine Tony Romo in Buffalo, New York?
No.
It's just Big D to the little B.
Yeah.
So,
I mean,
folks, Judgment Week is over, Judgment Night is over, and the Sabres have stabbed us in the heart with a horrible loss at home to Vancouver. What are we looking ahead to right now? What are we looking forward to in this upcoming couple weeks? Couple things. March Madness. Cleveland's going to be friggin' amazing.
It's going to be a long couple weeks up to that.
Yeah. But closing on a house in less than 2 weeks.
Yep.
And I think that one of the biggest things that we got to talk about, Paradise going away party. This Friday night. I hope everyone's there. If you're on the train, you know exactly what that is and what's going to be going down this weekend. It's going to be amazing. 5 years at that place, a lot of memories, a lot of great things have happened there. And I hope to see everyone in attendance.
Let's get through February, folks.
Yep.
Have a safe Valentine's Day.
Valentine's Day. Stay away from Big Sugar.
Stay away from the Big Sugar companies.
Mm. Mm. Big.
It's a scam.
Wow, big week. Happy Valentine's Day to everyone on Tuesday.
Yeah.
I think
send your best to your loved ones.
Yes.
Train wreck sports.
Don't forget your mothers.
Yeah.
So, folks, train will never stop. Keep raising the Goose Bombers and have an awesome Valentine's Day week. I hope to see everyone at Paradise. Might not be doing another show before then, but we'll see what happens. Burrs, good night. Now.